How are we doing? Hey, I mentioned it yesterday. If you were here yesterday, it's the one time in the year that we have all of the kids in the service. So all the adults, can you put your hands together and welcome all of the kids that are in the service? Great to have you here. And like Pastor Andrew said, if you're visiting or out of town, we're super glad that you're here. And hopefully already you've sensed the love of God in this place, the presence of God in this place. And it's good to be in church on Christmas Eve. You know, David, he was a psalmist in the Old Testament. He said, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. When I grew up in church, it was actually sad to me to go to church. And then I gave my heart to Jesus Christ at the age of 19, and there's no other place I'd rather be than around the people of God, with the presence of God. And come on, if you believe that, put your hands together. And like Pastor Andrew mentioned, we have people in the overflow room in room 8. We have people out in the lobby watching it on the television. We have people that are part of our church family traveling all over the world, a family in Australia watching online, I assume. And so let's welcome everybody in the lobby and room 8 and online one more time. Let's thank them for joining us. I want to confess this. We underestimated how many people would come out for a service, and the reason is we had 4 services yesterday, so we thought, well, Christmas Eve is the next day. Instead of doing 3 or 4, let's just go with 2, and I think we made a wrong decision, but it's okay because it's better for me. It's only 2 services, so, and I get to go home and eat some tamales. Hey, are you excited about the person you're sitting next to right now? Yeah. Why don't you let them know I'm glad that I'm sitting next to you. I'm glad. Come on, you should be blessed that you're sitting next to that person, right? Yep. Typically on Sunday morning, I'll preach like 40 minutes or so. And tonight, it's 5 o'clock. It's going to be at 20 minutes max. It's okay. Somebody said hallelujah. Can we get some ushers over here, this section right here? Yeah. Take them out of the building right now. Rough them up in Jesus' name. And so it's going to be shorter because we have some of you still have to go shopping. And how many still have shopping to do? Let me see your hand. What are you waiting for, man? Get your act together. All right. Hey, grab your copy of God's Word, and I just want to look at one verse today. One verse, Matthew chapter 1. We're just going to look at one verse. In fact, I want everybody to read this verse with me out loud. And if you didn't bring your Bible, God still loves you. Just not as much as the people that brought their Bible. I'm just kidding. But the verse is coming up on the screen, and it's Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. How many just are madly in love with the Word of God? Let me just take a minute and give God thanks for the Word that He gave us. Aren't you glad that He didn't give us thousands of books to read? And He could have left us with thousands of books, but it's one book made up of 66 books, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament. Do you know the very first thing that Gutenberg, when he invented the printing press, the first thing he did is he said, we need to make copies of the Bible, because the Bible was only in the hands of the priests and the leaders. And so the first thing he did is says, we got to make copies of the Word of God, get it into the hands of the people. And there are literally thousands of people that lost their life so we can hold the Word of life in our hands. And this is a book unlike any other book. The Bible says it's living and it's active. It's alive. It's supernatural. And just one verse can really encourage you and bless you and challenge you. And how many have found that to be true, right? And so we're going to read one verse, and then I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get into a very short message, all right? But you're reading too. You're in the sermon. Amen. Matthew 1, verse 21, reading out of the NIV at the count of 3. Everybody clear your throats. Your best voice, Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, count of 3, 1, 2, 3, go. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. We just sang a song, Emmanuel, and it just means God with us. Yesterday, if you were here yesterday, I started a brand new series called, I already forgot the name. Just kidding, I remember. Just wanted to see if you would remember, Just Jesus. Say it with me. And yesterday we looked at the birth of Jesus Christ, and today I just want to look at one simple truth out of verse 21, and it's simply this, that God is with us. Why don't you encourage the person on your right and left and let them know that God is with them. God is with them. And How many of you take down your Christmas tree the day after Christmas? You're like, you start working on, yeah. And probably in our home, maybe the day after, 2 days after, we're going to start taking down the tree. All the ornaments come off, and the lights are coming off of the house. And I should probably organize it a little better, but I just kind of roll it up in a ball and throw it in there. Then I get ticked off the next year that it wasn't. Yeah, right, you know what I'm talking about. So everything's coming off the tree. Tree's coming down, and if it's a fake one, you put it back into storage. If it's a live one, you're gonna stick it on the driveway there, and they're gonna pick it up in a couple days. And lights are coming down. Tree's getting put away. Isn't it true? Even the presents that we buy for kids or Santa brings for kids, those even in a couple days are either broken, or the kids are bored with them. How many parents you know what I'm talking about, right? And here's what I want to say. Most of Christmas is fading. And it doesn't take more than a few hours for Christmas to fade. And I want to submit something to you tonight, a gift, a present that will never fade. Ready? The person of Jesus Christ and the presence of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in verse 21 that we are here. The reason you're here is to celebrate Emmanuel, which means what? God is with us. But not only is he with us, he is, more personally, God is with me. And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, he is with you. Bette Midler sang a song many years ago, and here's the lyrics. It says, God is watching us, God is watching us, God is watching us from a distance. Kind of a cool song, but the theology's awful. Because God is not watching us from a distance. God is a very present help in time of trouble. God is Emmanuel. He is with us. Moses said of the Old Testament, look at this verse, Exodus 33, verse 16. Moses said this. He said, how will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? Notice this. What else will distinguish me and your people from all other people on the face of the earth? Moses wants God to know, what is the thing that will separate us as your people from people that aren't following you? What separates Christians from non-Christians? What separates Christians from Muslims or Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses? There it is right there. The difference is, the distinct characteristic is, as a believer in Jesus Christ, what sets you and I apart is that God is with us. Now, check this out. Not only is he just with us, this is even better. The Bible says it's Christ in you, in me, the hope of glory. So not only is he with me, he is, the Holy Spirit actually lives inside of me. Now, think about this. God is with me. Say it one more time. God is, notice that phrase. It doesn't say God is close to me. That would be cool, but it's not it. Not he's close. He's in the vicinity. He's down the street. He's on the same block. He's in the same cubicle. No, he's not in the same hemisphere or on another planet. God is with me and in me. And here's the good news. No matter what you and I face in 2019, because how many of you know, we're going to have some ups and downs. It's not all hunky-dory all the time serving God. So we're going to have some ups and downs emotionally, physically, relationally, financially, socially in 2019. But what separates the people of God from the people that aren't serving God is that we know in the highs and lows, God will be what? He'll be with us. He'll be with us. I think the last scary movie that I saw was Exorcist. I was 10 years old, and I just want to say this, kind of a little parental advice. Not only should you not be watching those movies, you should not let your kids watch those movies. And some people think, oh, it's just kind of innocent, and I just like to get scared and stuff, but you're actually opening up the door for the enemy to come in. But anyhow, I was 10 years old. I wasn't a Christian. All the kids are hitting their parents like, you're tuned in. So I was about 10 years old. Me and my brother were up really late one night, and my parents were out at the neighbor's house, and we turned on The Exorcist at like 10 o'clock at night, and that movie even today, like, it freaks me out. Little girl turns green, and she's like throwing up all over the place, and I'm like, ugh. But how many know most of the horror movies, listen, most of the horror movies happen inside of a house, don't they? And inside of the house, you start hearing, like, voices, and you know you're the only one in the house, and it's not your voice. You start hearing, like, voices, and the walls start shaking and doors are opening and slamming. Here's the question I always want to ask. What are you doing in the house? Come on, let's just be honest. If you were in the house and you heard voices that weren't yours and you knew nobody else was in the house, the walls are shaking and doors are, I'm out of there. I'll leave the coffee on. You can have my television, my billfold. You can have the entire house and the car. I am leaving you and forsaking you. And how many know that we have ghosts in this house, in our mind, the things that we think, in our hearts? The Bible says our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And isn't it good news to know that even though you and I have ghosts in our heart, in our lives, in our minds, that God never leaves us or forsakes us? And he's a God that is presently with us 24/7. So, I want to introduce you to a couple of people that you may or may not know. And you may or may not know these people. It might be somebody that you know. It might be someone that might be, well, that actually might be you. So, first of all, is the lonely spouse. You know what would surprise a lot of single people? A lot of single people would be surprised to know that there are people in the building right now that are married, but they're still lonely. How many know you can be surrounded by hundreds of people in this room and still feel alone? And I know you can't say amen because your spouse is sitting right next to you right now, but you can be married. You can be married for 10 years, 30 years, 40 years, and still be alone. So in the room right now, there are lonely spouses. I want to introduce you to another person. It's the lonely survivor. And I've met people like that in our church. They were married for 30 or 40 years, and they went to heaven, and they passed away. And it's nothing like a grieving heart to talk to somebody that lost somebody that they've been married to for 10, 20, or 50 years. And even worse, there are people in our church that have lost siblings or sons and daughters, and I can't even imagine what that's like, the lonely survivor. Then there's the lonely senior citizen, and we have some in our church. Isn't it interesting, the older that you get, senior citizens, they feel unnecessary, unneeded, and unwanted. But I'm so honored and blessed that the senior citizens in our church aren't just filling a seat, but they're being used powerfully by God in our church. How many are grateful for all of the senior citizens? Amen? But if you're not careful, when you get into your 60s and 70s, you feel like that your best days are behind you. And I thank God for all of our senior citizens because I don't believe that. I believe that your best days are ahead of you. Another person I want to introduce you to is the lonely single person. In fact, last week I talked to a young single gal. And I asked her a question. I said, so what will you be doing for Christmas? And she said, well, ever since my grandmother passed away and my mother passed away, they were really the glue of the family. And they would always organize Thanksgiving. They would organize Christmas. They would organize Easter. But since they both passed away and I have no relationship with my father, she said, I'll just be spending the day by myself. And it just, honestly, it broke my heart. If she didn't live a couple hours away, we would have her at our house. But there are single people in our church that are some of the loneliest people. But I've come to church to let you know that even if you feel alone, you need to know that God is with you. Amen, amen, amen. I heard that over there. And then finally, I want to introduce you to not only the lonely survivor, the senior citizen, but the lonely sufferer. If you are here today, suffering emotionally, suffering physically, suffering relationally, physically in some way, I want to let you know you are not alone. God is with you. You listen, people might have turned their backs on you. Parents might have turned their backs on you. Friends might have turned their backs on you, but you are not alone. If you're a student that went off to college, you are not alone. Do you know the loneliest time in my life was the age of 19? Because I played basketball in high school, but then I blew out my knee in the summertime, so I couldn't play basketball. College, all my friends went away to college. I didn't have too many friends. I couldn't play basketball, and my girlfriend dumped me. I thought I'd get more of a response than that. Hold on. We'll give you another run at it. And my girlfriend dumped me. Yeah. And so lost the friends, couldn't play basketball, girlfriend dumped me. But I do want to say I married way better and way hotter than that girl that dumped me. And I hope she's listening to this message right now. But I remember I sat on a bench there at Moore Park College. I could tell you exactly where I was. And I just, like, the tears started coming down because I felt like I lost her. I lost my friends. But it was during that lonely time, it was like a month later that God got a hold of my heart and I fully surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. So you might be a spouse feeling alone. I'm telling you, you're not alone. You might be suffering, a single person, a senior citizen. We're not alone. God is with us. He'll never, ever leave us or forsake us. And here's what I've discovered. This might be true for you too. Isn't it interesting? The deepest and the darkest times of your life, those are the times that God shows up in the most powerful ways. My wife and I had three miscarriages before we had our three kids, but it was in those times that we would get together and read verses together and memorize verses and call out to God, and it was in that time that God would show up in a powerful way and answer our prayer. It was the times in our church over the last 21 years where people that we thought loved us and believed in us turned their back on us and talked about us and abandoned us, but it was in those times and those places that God showed up in a powerful way. It was when I was in the hospital with the brain hemorrhage for 2 weeks, wondering if I was honestly going to make it. But it was in those 2 weeks in ICU that God showed up in a powerful way to remind me, Steve, you're not alone. I am with you in the deepest, darkest places of your life. I want to encourage you with this verse. It's such an amazing verse, Isaiah 43, verses 2 through 5. And the message, it says this, when you're in over your head, I will be there with you. Some of you feel like you're over your head. God wants you to know that he'll be there with you. When you're in rough waters, you will not go down. When you're between a rock and a hard place, it won't be a dead end. Because I am God, I'm your personal God, the Holy of Israel, your Savior. Check this out. I paid a huge price for you. That's how much you mean to me. That's how much I love you. I'd sell the world to get you back, trade the creation just for you. So don't be afraid. Let's all say it together. Why? I am with you. You came to church tonight because God wanted you to know you're not alone. He is with you. How many parents here? Parents at. Do you ever have a hard time putting your kids to sleep at night? And you put them in bed and they're like, I don't want to. And they jump up out of the bed and then you put them back. Come on. And so I remember our kids would do that all the time. You put them in bed. They weren't ready to go to bed, but we were ready for them to go to bed. And you put them in the bed, they get up. You put them in the bed, they get up. This happened with our oldest daughter, back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And she kept getting out of the bed and trying to run out of the door. And we finally went to sleep after, I don't know, a few minutes of this. And the next morning, I woke up and went into her room because we had closed the door and said, you can't get out. And she fell asleep right next to the door. And I remember it was like the Lord just showed me a picture that all my daughter wanted to be as close to her mom and dad as she could. And I'll tell you, God wants to be close to you. He's Emmanuel. He is God with you. So God brought you here at the end of 2018 to let you know that you matter to him, you're loved by him, and he has an amazing plan for your life. Some of you came because the same reason I came. Growing up, I went to church because my parents said you have to go to church on Christmas Eve and Easter. So those are the two times that I went. Maybe one other time if my mom begged me hard enough. Some of us are here out of obligation. Some of us are here out of tradition, and that's okay. We're glad that you're here. Some came to hear one of the little kids sing or to sing Christmas carols, and if that's why you're here, that's wonderful. Some of you are here, honestly, look at me. You're here because you were lied to. Somebody said, let's go to Golden Corral. I'm buying. And you said, I'm in. And then you pulled into the church party. Like, this doesn't look like no restaurant to me. And they said, sucker. And you're here. But here's what I do know, that God brought you here to this place. Some out of obligation, some out of tradition, some because you were dragged, some because you're out of town. And you asked your family, hey, could I spend the holidays? And they're like, yeah, if you go to church with me. And you're here because you got, whatever the reason is, but honestly, you're here because God loves you. He wants you to know that you matter to him and that he'll never, ever leave you nor forsake you. So I just think it'd be awesome at the end of 2018, because I just had a chance yesterday to share a little bit about my testimony, raised in the Catholic Church, going to church off and on. I just thought like, man, I'm in. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. I'm a pretty good person. I honestly thought religion got you access to God. And then I came to a church like this and I discovered that God doesn't really like religion, because religion is man's attempt to get to a holy God. He doesn't care about religion. So check it out. It doesn't matter if you're a Methodist, Baptist, Lutheran, Catholic, agnostic, atheist. It doesn't matter our upbringing. God's not really impressed by religiosity. He wants a personal relationship with each and every one of us. And check it out. The reason why you're here tonight wasn't just to sing songs or to turn on a light in 2 minutes. But God wanted you to know he loves you and he has a great plan for your life. So right after the first service, I was in the lobby and a guy came up to me. Apparently he's been to our church a couple times, but I've never met him. He says, I've heard you preach for a couple of months, and he says, I want you to know tonight, today is the day that I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. And there are other people in the room that God wants you to have that same relationship with him. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to be God with you. So with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, let me just pray for anybody in the room. Just starting off to my right over here, the left side of the building, if you want to begin a relationship with Christ or you want to rekindle your relationship with Jesus, at one time you were serving God fervently, but for whatever reason you've walked away from the Lord in the last couple months or the last few years, God's knocking on the door of your heart, and he wants you to know that you're not alone. But here's what I want you to do. Everybody has their heads bowed and their eyes closed, but would you right now, would you just lift up your head and open up your eyes and raise your hand and look at me? And I just want to pray for anybody in this section right now, opening your life to Christ or rededicating your life. I agree with you. There's a lot of hands in this section right here. I agree with you. And if I missed your hand, it's okay. God sees you and God loves you. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Anybody here in the middle section, just go ahead and lift up your hand really high. Doesn't matter who's looking or who's not. I agree with you and you and you and you. There's, 15 or 20 people in the middle section. I see you. Thank you for lifting your hand. Sweetheart, I see you. You're beautiful too, by the way. Yeah, you. I see you. Amen, amen, amen. You can put your hands down. And then off to my left, the far right side, anybody in this section, just go and lift up your hand and not joining anything. You're just saying, I want Jesus in my life. I agree with you. I agree with you. And again, there's a ton of people in this section over here. I agree with you in Jesus' name. Here's what I want. Everybody in the room, would you just pray this prayer with me? Repeat after me out loud. Father in heaven, I thank you for your son, Jesus. And today, on Christmas Eve, 2018, I begin a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I turn from my ways and I turn to Jesus. Come into my heart. I will love you and serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Can we just put our hands together and thank God for saving people? Amen. I want to invite you to pull your light out here. We have gone high tech. We used to have candles, and they would drip all over the carpet and the seats, and we made a change last year. You have your candle there. Would you turn it on? There's a little button on the bottom there. How many of you realize we live in a very dark world? Very, very dark, and it was dark in the times of Jesus, and when Jesus came into the dark world, he said, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. And then check this out. Then he said, I'm leaving. 2,000 years ago, he said, I'm leaving. I'm going back to heaven, but I'm passing the baton on to you. Now you are the light of the world. The Bible says in the book of Philippians that we live in a dark generation, but we are to shine like lights in the world. So I'm going to invite you to turn your light on, and the lights are going to go off. We're going to sing Silent Night. It's going to be dark in here, and then I'm going to come back and pray for us as a congregation, and then we'll be dismissed. Oh.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Would you stand to your feet, please? We want to pray for you. So if you would bow your heads there and close your eyes. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Father, for sending your great son, Jesus, into the world to die in our place. Thank you that he is Emmanuel, God with us. And so, Lord, I pray for my friends, our friends, your sons and daughters, as we head into 2019, let us be reminded of your goodness and grace, your mercy and your power. You are a mighty God. You are with us. And God, we're not going to be alone in 2019. So we thank you for your grace and faithfulness. And God, we take the responsibility as being lights of the world very seriously. And in a minute, we're going to turn out our lights, but the light within our heart is going to shine bright this week and this year for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Why don't you go ahead and turn your light off there? And let me just ask you this one thing. We're going to sing one more song. On your way out, if you can turn this in. If you don't turn it in, your car will not start. Just kidding. You can turn that in on your way out. We're going to sing one more song. All of the pastors and our spouses are going to be out in the lobby greeting you. We love you guys. Hope you have a great Christmas Eve and a Christmas Day. God bless you.